This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday. It's the 7th of March, and coming up, talking with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. Our conversation will begin right after these words, so stay with us.
Get around town for free. The City of Pendleton Letter Bus Transit is a bus system within the city limits and has 11 stops a day at 30 locations throughout town. Cost of the ride is free, and the bus operates 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. For route and schedule information, please visit our website at www.pendleton.or.us/transportation or call 541-276-6476. Letter Bus Transit is brought to you by the City of Pendleton.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Thanks for joining us this morning, talking with Chuck Byram, Pendleton Police Chief, on the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tesman, your host, and Chief Byram, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. And could you give us the details surrounding the arrest of Everett Stephen Payne on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, the 5th of March at about 8 o'clock p.m., we received a call from a property manager from the 600 block Southeast Dorian Avenue that manages duplexes, apartments in that area, reporting that one of their tenants reported that they were hearing noises from an upstairs, what was supposed to be unoccupied residence. Officers arrived, and with the help of the property management group, we're able to get inside the residence and located Mr. Payne, who's a Pendleton resident, inside, effectively trespassing, and what they arrested him for was, in effect, burglary with unlawful entry with the intent to commit a crime therein. What's unique about this is definitely not the first time that Mr. Payne has done this. This is almost like a serial case for him. We have arrested him 47 times now, most of it for this kind of conduct, walking into houses that don't belong to him and basically trying to set up shop. He has done this over and over and over again. What I'm afraid of is one of these days, if he's not held to account and getting out of our society for a little while, is that he's going to walk into the wrong house one of these days. And then we're not just working a burglary case, we're working a death. And that is what I want to avoid more than anything. Obviously, there's mental health and controlled substance use issues involved with this individual. Again, 47 arrests. And what people like to classify as minor incidents, I classify as quality of life type crimes, where this individual is affecting the quality of life for a lot of people in this community. Sometimes you have to separate those individuals from the community. So hopefully we can get this individual put somewhere where, one's not victimizing the community, and two, getting the help that he needs. All we can do is try in that, I guess. But again, 47 arrests. I'm not talking about convictions. I'm talking about arrests. But still, that's a lot. That's a lot for our community to withstand. And it's time that the judicial side of the house takes action on this individual.
Any other criminal trends that concern you that you've noticed recently?
Well, like I've already stated, it's the quality of life type crimes, again, that are allowed to go on over and over and over again. The repetitiveness of it is quite honestly getting a little frustrating. There is repeat offenders within our community that we have, again, dealt with over and over again to the tune of 50, 60 arrests. And these people are still walking out on our streets right now. I am more than frustrated with it. Our officers are more than frustrated with it. And dang it, I know our community is more than frustrated with it. It's time that we stop enabling. It's time we start holding accountable. And we need to get these individuals someplace where they're not victimizing our community. They've shown pattern of behavior that they are not going to change their ways. Being lenient on them is not working. Enabling them is not working. And all they're doing is taking advantage of the good graces of this community and the people that are trying to make a change in the system that they feel is broken. And it's to the detriment of the society and our community as a whole. And it's not working, and it needs to change, and it needs to stop.
give us a glimpse of your February patrol statistics that you would tell the Pendleton City Council about tonight. Is there anything particular that worries you?
Well, you know, every month the City Council obviously asks for a report on how we're doing. I try to provide those stats as timely and as much as I can and as possible. But what I look at more than anything is when I look at numbers and I look at stats, I look at pre-2020 as opposed to post-2020. And as we know, in 2022, two significant things happened in our state. One was COVID, which I don't put a lot of credence in elevating the rise in crime. What I do put a lot of credence in is what helps the rise in crime is the passage of ballot measure 110. And so what I look at in those numbers and in total numbers more than anything is that pre-2020 as opposed to post-2020, there has been a 500 call for service a month rise for us. In 2019, we only had like 1,300 calls for service. Now we're close to 1,800 calls for service. And that started in 2020 until now. And that's just for the month of February, which is supposed to be our calm month because, you know, it's kind of cold. There's not a lot going on. It works out to about 61 calls for service a day. And that's a lot for any policing agency to handle our size, that is. It's all relative to your size and population. I understand that, but it's definitely a trend, and it's started at 2020, and it's only rising every year. So anybody that tells me that ballot measure 110 isn't having effect on a law enforcement and quality of life crimes, because that's what they are. That's your thefts. That's your trespasses. That's your criminal mischiefs. That's the stuff that goes along with that type of behavior of addiction, mental health, and homelessness, state sponsored. And it's definitely affecting this community like it's affecting every other community.
One of the bills up for consideration in Salem is one that would allow people on motorcycles and mopeds to share a single lane with other vehicles. Why is this even an issue, and what do you foresee happening if it becomes law?
Well, I would assume, I guess, and that's what I'm doing right now is assuming, is that it's an issue because in the more metropolitan areas with traffic jams, those motorcyclists want to cut through traffic to get to where they want to go faster. It's not something that we're used to around here. I know up in Washington, it's legal. I remember, you know, personal experience. I was traveling to Spokane and I was in the left lane passing a car. And all of a sudden, next thing I know, there's five motorcycles splitting right through me and I don't even know where they came from. If I would have decided to change back lanes thinking that I was clear and not seeing those guys coming up at about 100 miles an hour, it would have been catastrophic for everybody involved. So I can see a safety issue. I can see the safety aspect of it. It's not something that I have really paid too much attention to, but I just don't think it's a good idea for safety reasons more than anything else.
And are there other measures in the legislature that you're keeping an eye on? And if so, what are your concerns?
Well, as we know, 2023 is a long session, meaning that there are a plethora of bills introduced out there in to the tune of thousands. And looking through them all is a daunting task. That is why we have a lobbyist through the Oregon Association of Chiefs of Police that go through those things for us and pick out the ones that are going to impact this profession. However, I did get a jump on that, and I started looking at them early in the season, not meaning any of these have been to committees or going to get passed through or anything like that, but I have noticed what I call my top six that I'm looking at specifically right now. One of those being Senate Bill 19. Senate Bill 19 basically is the state-sponsored invocation of rights for juveniles, meaning that if an officer, how it usually works right now, is if an officer is dealing with a juvenile that is accused of a crime, if you were an adult, what we would do is we would run that case, but we'd also keep the parents informed and ask them if we could talk to their child without him or her present or if they want to invoke their rights. Now, they're just removing the parents from that decision-making process altogether, saying the state's saying that you can't talk to that juvenile, you being the police, without an attorney already being consulted. So it takes the parenting aspect out of it. It takes the accountability aspect out of it. And I just don't think that the state needs to get involved with invoking people's rights for them. So that's one of them that I am looking at. Another one is Senate Bill 236. This creates the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight statewide. Again, this is a redundant issue that deals with officer misconduct and reporting. We're already set up through DPSST to report misconduct when there is any type of sanction on an officer that affects them monetarily or has to do with any type of excessive use of force or anything like that. This one will obviously create a statewide database that's open to the public, and that flies in the face of records laws right now protecting employee rights and protecting employee privacy, just like any other employee would want if they were involved in some workplace issue where there's misconduct involved. It's not a fireable offense. It doesn't have anything to do with moral turpitude. Doesn't have anything to do with excessive use of force or anything like that. But say somebody missed court, accidentally slept in. You know, our graveyard guys sometimes do that. You know, they miss court because they overslept. Well, now that's going to be on a public database for everybody to look at and say, oh, Officer A missed court. Who wants to be embarrassed like that over and over and over again in this profession? It's already hard enough to find people to work right now in any line of work, let alone this profession. And if we're going to publicly embarrass those individuals like that, what are we doing? Why? What's the purpose? When we already have a system set up to hold these officers accountable through DPSST. It's on each individual agency in order to do that. And if the agency's having an issue, we need to go to that agency and set them straight. But creating all of this stuff to just embarrass officers, and that's what it is. It's just embarrassing officers, is just unnecessary and doesn't need to be done. Another one I'm looking at is Senate Bill 237. This one actually flies in the face of 2007 Senate Bill 111 that designated district attorneys countywide to create the deadly physical force plan and how we are going to respond to officer-involved deadly physical force or serious physical force. This plan, this bill that has been introduced, disregards all of that and designates the Oregon State Police as the sole investigator of all officer use of force incidents like that. Well, who's going to investigate Oregon State Police when they're involved in a deadly use of force? It doesn't say that in the bill. Again, it's somebody trying to fix something that isn't broken. So hopefully this one doesn't get through into any committees and dies where it sits, because it's just a poorly worded and it is detrimental to the professionalism that we already have in place for investigating officer-involved shootings and deadly physical force. Senate Bill 649, one that I'm really, really interested in, actually creates the crime of a controlled substance homicide. Whereas before we've depended on the Len Bias ruling, where we can go after the drug dealers if we can follow that chain that sold the drugs to the individual that OD'd on them. Now this just creates its own separate crime, so we don't have to follow that Len Bias case law where we go in and if we can determine that the drugs and follow that chain and we can find the supplier that sold those drugs to that individual, we can charge them with a controlled substance homicide. That's something I think is sorely needed. It'll, again, hold people more accountable for that. People are raging and screaming right now that our fentanyl overdoses are, going off the chart. Well, again, what happens when you legalize drugs, I guess? You know, I mean, and not putting anything in place before any of that happens. Another thing that I'm looking at is Senate Bill 644. One that I've talked about before, one that's needed, in the Hermiston case, the swatting call at the school. Okay, that's disorderly conduct one. It's very minimal type of crime. This one is a crime of threatening to commit a terrorist act, implementing something like that. Telling people you're going to go commit a mass shooting and stuff like that. Well, now there will be a specific crime for that that is actually a felony. We'll hold people accountable not only for their conduct, but their threatening words as well, that they're going to do that. And it's time we clamp down on all of that. A lot of it, I would say that when kids are doing that, they're attention seeking, but at the same time, it can't be ignored. And it has to be treated like it's real. And a lot of time and resources go into those threats. And both the school district and law enforcement agencies and all the other support agencies around that try to get that individual help so that they don't act on their threats. So it's time we clamp down on that as well. And then lastly is Senate Bill 701. This one's kind of like the same as Senate Bill 236. It authorizes the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission to create a database for officer misconduct, meaning that within 24 hours, we have to report to them and give them all of our investigative material. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, within 24 hours, we don't have any investigative materials on officer misconduct because we are creating that documentation as we do the process. So we don't have anything to give them other than an allegation. So we're going to give them an officer name and an allegation within 24 hours, and that's going to be in a database saying, Officer A supposedly did this. How fair is that to the officer? It violates due process law. It's not anything that we want to be involved with. And again, it's just poorly worded, and I hope it dies in committee.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for going through those measures. Very interesting stuff there, and we'll see how it all plays out with the Oregon legislature. Talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take a break. Back with more Stay with us.
Celebrate Wild Horse Resort and Casino's 28th anniversary with the biggest and best fireworks show in Eastern Oregon on Saturday, March 11th at 8 p.m. Bring your friends and family and come early. The parking lot fills fast. The fireworks show features a 250-foot wall of fire perfectly synced to music on 104.1 KZUW. This magnificent fireworks show is a must-watch. It's Wild Horse Resort and Casino's 28th anniversary fireworks show happening Saturday, March 11th at 8 p.m. Come celebrate.
Alaska Air Jet Service has arrived in Walla Walla. The jet is more efficient and quieter than the turboprop, and it flies faster. Plus, enjoy in-flight entertainment and Wi-Fi on board. Fly in comfort with daily service between Walla Walla and Seattle. The midday Walla Walla flight still has good connections at SeaTac and beyond. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and enjoy your flight from the Walla Walla Regional Airport. Need more incentive? Free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Every year, over one quarter of adults suffer a fall, but there are steps that can be taken to help reduce the risk. Join McKay Creek Estates on Thursday, March 23rd at 2 p.m. for a free webinar with certified athletic trainer Adrian Cahigas. He will provide expertise on the physical factors that can lead to falls, fitness routines for older adults to build strength, and advice on fall-proofing the home. You can sign up for the free webinar at prestigecanhelp.com. Again, that's prestigecanhelp.com.
Ready to change the colors inside your home? Zimmerman & Company True Value can help you start right. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
Well, the paint selection here is just as good as anywhere else, and we have a color matching machine. We have all the popular color palettes and themes, and we also have knowledgeable people who know what's up to date and what's the popular choice of nowadays.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
Let's get back to more live and local news from the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. And Chief, how is staffing?
Well, staffing is about the status quo from the last time. We just held interviews last week where we hopefully identified five candidates that we can put into background. I know just as of yesterday, one of those candidates polled, and so we're looking at four into background. I'm anticipating we're going to have five positions. Right now we have four, but I know for life choices and life reasons, one of our officers is looking to go to the Idaho area to continue his career. I'm looking for five officers. I know I have three more applications out there that we're probably going to have to run another process on, but we're going to get through this background with these four individuals to see if any of them are a viable candidate and a fit for us. Hopefully we can get a couple out of there, but if not, then it's back to the drawing board. Again, like I've always said, I'm not going to sacrifice quality for quantity and for a speedy hire. In the long run, it just doesn't work out. They need to be a fit for this profession, and they need to be a fit for this community and for our agency. And if we feel that they're not, then we will move on and we will try to find others. Right now, Dakota Bridges is scheduled to go to the academy this week or next week, starting this weekend. Megan Leloff will be reporting to the academy in April, and then Caden Ongers will be reporting to the academy in May. So that's good for us. Get them through the academy, get back here, get them through field training, and then get them out on the road to relieve some of the stress on the people that are picking up the slack. As it stands right now, we're sitting there with only one crew semi-full with four. Everybody else is running three, and we're allocated for every patrol crew to run five. So that's where we need to get to. It takes a little time. Obviously, it doesn't help with the academy not running as many classes as they used to and always being full. So we have to extend these officers out longer and longer and longer. Then they're gone 16 weeks to the academy, and then they got to get through field and training. So again, we usually don't see these officers for a year out on their own. Now it's more like a year and a half, and it's frustrating. But we're working through it, and we're getting more and more applications now. So I think we're getting to a point where we're going to be full up sooner rather than later, and that's a plus for us and a plus for the community.
Another question, Portland police officers still don't have body cams. Why is it such an issue there when it went relatively smoothly once we got funding here?
Well, I can't speak to Portland. I wouldn't pretend to do that. But just from my experience, when you get bigger and bigger agency, bigger and bigger government, there's more bureaucracy to go through, whether it's being unions, whether it's being kicked back. I know they're on a federal decree where probably it's mandated to have those things. So it's probably not lack of funding for them. It's not the cost aspect of it. So I don't know what it is. I can tell you, though, that us wearing our body cams has been nothing but a positive for us. Again, we use it for evidence. We use it for training purposes. We use it for accountability. All of that is necessary for transparency within our agency in this profession. And I will not go back using them, not to not using them ever again. In fact, this budget year, we re-upped with Axon to the tune of $9,000 a year for just body cams. And then I also upped with them to get new dash cameras in our cars so that everything syncs together with the body camera and the dash cam footage to the tune of $18,000 a year. I think between those two, spending around $27,000 to $30,000 a year for that transparency is necessary, and it's good governmental spending on our part and for the community because it keeps everybody safe.
All right, talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take another break. Back with more. Stay with us.
Catch the Coffee Hour on your phone. Download our free mobile app, My Columbia Basin.
A new state law requires the city of Pendleton to inventory the material of all pipes in the water system, including our customers' water service lines. Now through March 13th, the city is asking you to complete a survey about what your water service line is made of, especially if the pipes were installed before 1987. You can find more information on how to determine pipe material in the water service line survey available now on the city's website and at Pendleton City Hall.
The Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store, is proud to be part of this great community and part of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand up when we hear the national anthem, put our hands on our hearts when we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and we thank God for everything He has given us. If you feel the same way, stop by and say hi to your neighbors at the Pendleton Market 76, your hometown all-American store. God bless America, God bless you, and God bless beer.
People often ask, can you fix my car? And nearly always the answer is, yes, we can. Hi, Scott here for your locally owned Pendleton Tire Factory. Did you know that we do brakes, batteries, tune-ups, air conditioning work, cooling system, shocks, struts, trailer wiring, install tow hitches? And quite often we can get the work completed on the same day. We also service most RVs and living quarter horse trailers. Pendleton Tire, Eastgate, Pendleton, 276-2774.
Think you know your Umatilla County history? Come find out at Trivia Night at the Museum. Tickets are on sale now at Heritage Station Museum for Saints and Sinners of Umatilla County, Saturday, March 18th. Get your team together and purchase a table for just $120. Or we can put you at a table for just $25 with new friends. Have fun, eat a delicious dinner, and test your knowledge at Trivia Night at the Museum. This event supports the Umatilla County Historical Society.
Pendleton Original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour. And now back to your host on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. And Chief, I know that there's been a lot of work going in and cleaning up these camps, if you will, throughout town. Give us an update on where things are in that effort to get that cleaned up.
Yeah, so when we created the Right to Rest Ordinance based off of the two decisions from Grants Pass and Boise that has since been memorialized in Oregon Revised Statute, so it's law about what we can and we cannot do in regards to enforcing where people stop, rest, spread out their belongings, and basically just set up camp. So what we were doing before is our Parks and Rec Department, once we identified a camp, we would post it with the 72 hours, meaning they had to be gone within 72 hours or we were going to take it ourselves. And we'd have to store it for 30 days if somebody wanted to claim it. If that, we could get rid of it. We found out is that it just became too daunting, too taxing for the Parks and Recreation Department. You know, they have other duties to do, and that was just thrown on. Again, what we would like to call an unfunded mandate. You know, there's no money for that anywhere to clean those up. And also the safety aspect of it. Those Parks and Rec employees aren't trained to handle hazardous waste and materials. So it definitely became a safety issue. And so what we did is we contracted, the city manager authorized Parks and Rec to put out a request for proposal for a contracting company that can come out and clean up those camps. And Liam Hughes did a lot of good work, a lot of professional work, and we identified EBC, a local company that can come in and clean up those camps. So that's what we're doing now, is we're contracting with them. Basically, what I've had to do is create a database to keep track of all the camps and whether they've been cleaned up or abated on by the camper themselves, and then what the cost is. We only have so much dollars allotted for these camp cleanups, and once we reach that threshold, we're going to have to figure out either if we have more money or whether we need to stop. This seems to be a more streamlined process, a more professional process. EBC is responsible for holding the stuff now, instead of the police department having to do it and overflowing our evidence and or other storage areas, keeping this stuff. So that's nice. They're a good group to work with. And so far, communication seems to be going well, and the process seems to be going well.
And I know that Governor Kotek has, you know, done a lot in her, becoming governor just now, saying, you know, we're going to combat homelessness, we're going to combat mental health and so on. Is there an opportunity for the city to possibly get grants to help curtail some of the costs involved, or do you know yet?
No, I don't know yet. Words are words. Let's see action. How about that? How about we don't put the cart before the horse like we did with 110 and just decriminalize drugs without having anything propped up in place to support these individuals? How about we start with that? How about we don't do it backwards and create an unsafe environment for all of our communities because of that? We're seeing it, whether they want to admit it or not. We know the numbers. We know it's not working. They just don't want to admit it. They're going to blame the pandemic. They're going to blame other things other than their total lack of failure and foresight.
Last question. Quickly, there's a new drug being called the zombie drug, xylazine, which is moving westward from the northeast. It's an animal tranquilizer that is mixed with fentanyl, also called Trank. It is blamed for more than 1,400 overdoses in the South in 2021. That number was only 116 the year before that. How do you prepare officers for a new drug?
Well, it's universal precautions, and where we're normally going to see it first is through our drug task force bent. They're going to be the ones seeing it at the dealer level and interacting with those that they interact with on the day-to-day basis, trying to do their jobs. If they notice it out there, they're going to let everybody know about it. And it's basically, again, using universal precautions. Again, we already have the fentanyl out there. We have the powder fentanyl out there. Anymore this day and age, our officers are universal precaution. If it's something like that, they are masking up, gloving up. They are doing what they need to do in order to stay safe and keep the community safe. Last thing I want to see is one of our officers go down because of an inadvertent exposure to something like this. But again, people are going to find a way, always, it seems like, to harm themselves in unique ways. And this is just one more of those ways that's making its trend this way.
All right. Well, Chuck Byram, Pendleton Police Chief, my guest, thanks for joining us this morning. And we will talk to you again next month. That's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. Everybody have a terrific Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Depend on us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.